Wish I'd brought them with me now. I was thinking, even this morning, in the book of Acts, when the Lord went home, when he was ascended into heaven, the Bible says that the disciples went back, I think to the upper room, and Mary was there. Sometimes we think we don't put time together. As I've said so many times, most Bible teachers think Mary, when Jesus was born, was what we would consider very young, maybe 15, 16 years of age, as the custom was of that day. Jesus lived 33 and a half years. And so when he ascended into heaven and she met with that church there after that they came back, I was thinking even this morning, she was almost 50 years old. And she'd been a faithful mother and faithful to her son because he was the Lord. And it's amazing sometimes we don't put together. But all those years had passed by and she was still in church and still with those disciples. Christmas season is it's a hard season for some people. I don't necessarily enjoy all the stuff that goes on that's called Christmas. Sort of takes the real meaning away from it. And then when you have different things take place, Christmas won't be as good as it would have been to a couple of our families. And every Christmas will be remembered. The preacher that helped with Brother Bud's, he told me, he said his wife died, I think, 15th of December a few years back. And buried on, I believe he told me, the 18th. And he said, I hate Christmas. Because we're flooded with all those memories once again. There's dates in my mind that when that comes around, I hate that day. And all of us have those days. We're no different than anybody else. But I'm glad the Lord was born. I'm glad he died. And I want to try to bring some thoughts this morning along the line of our Savior. Not as a babe in a manger, but thank God he's the Savior. He's the Lord, and he's Christ. And I want us to read what is normally considered and called the Christmas story. And out of the Gospel of Luke, this is probably the most familiar passage, Luke and Matthew. In Luke chapter number 2, we have the account of the taxation that took place and the traveling to the city of Bethlehem and then the visit of the shepherds. And I want us to read this beginning in verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 11. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one unto his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." This is the announcement that Jesus, the Savior, had been born. Mary and Joseph have traveled from their home where they were living to Bethlehem because the taxation was upon them, and every person had to travel back to the place where they were born. And it's very interesting here that the scripture is very clear to tell us that Joseph was of the house of David also. Even though Joseph was not the father of Jesus Christ, he was of the right lineage. He was of the right family. He was of the family of David. And we know that the Bible tells us that Jesus is the root and offspring of David. And so he is the Son of God, called the Son of David. And so they travel to Bethlehem because of the taxation, and while they're there, the baby is born. No place for them. And the reason being, they didn't have the Hiltons and the Radissons and all the different motels that we have today. And the city of Bethlehem was filled with people that were not normally there. There was no room. There was no place. And they had tried to find a place and was unable to do that. And all they could come up with is just a stable and there to stay that night. And when Jesus was born, he was wrapped in those swaddling clothes and was laid in the manger that had been used, I'm sure, many, many times for the herds to feed from. But that night was a different night than all other nights. This was a night of an awakening to the people of Israel that a Savior had been born. And I'm going to use those three terms, Savior, Christ, and Lord. When Jesus was born, the night was upon Israel, not physically only, but spiritually. We know that from Malachi to the writing of Matthew, there were 400 years that God did not speak to prophets. God did not have a prophet. And they are called the 400 silent years because all they had was the words that had already been written. There was no continuing revelation from the Lord. And so the night was very dark upon them, and the darkness was there spiritually upon them as well as physically. Israel has always had its ups and downs, and seemingly has more downs than ups. Israel had always gone the cycle. God would bless them, they would become prosperous, and then through their prosperity they would forget God, God would bring judgment upon them, and they would come back to the Lord. It's the same cycle that everybody takes. It's the same cycle that many nations have taken. It's the same cycle that we are in our country. We have become very prosperous. Now we have become very proud and very prideful. And we have forgotten God. And now the judgment of the Lord lurks upon us, and if it has not already started. So these years that had passed, Israel had slipped farther and farther and farther away from the Lord. But now the Savior has been born. Jesus Christ the Lord. This should have been a time when Israel was looking for the coming of their Messiah. It should be a time right now for you and I and maybe is for us, but I'm talking about in general for people that are called Christians. It's a time that we should be looking for our deliverer, because I believe he's coming very soon. I believe we see everything that is in the headlines. We hear the news reports. We see the anarchy across the world. We see the disobedience of people. And you and I, of all people, should be looking and saying, even so come, Lord Jesus. And they should have been looking for their deliverer, because the signs had been given to them. The message had been given. The word of God had been spoken to a point that they knew that somebody was going to come, and they knew the approximate time, as just as we do. Israel should have been looking for the promised Messiah. And in word, they were probably going through the motions, and they were looking for this Messiah for thousands of years. Now they're under bondage to the hand of the Roman Empire, and it seems as all hope is gone. So the night was very dark. The night was very desperate. The need was very desperate upon the people of Israel. They were far away from God. Pagan kings ruled their land. Pagan kings, people that do not believe God. The foreigners had come in and ravaged the people and the land. And everywhere you looked, immorality flourished. Religion was dead. It was the formalistic religion that was so very deep inbred in those people. If you don't think that's in our country, all you got to do is watch a formal burial of a head of state. During the funeral of the past president that's just died, I sat and watched that, and I thought, that is religion at its highest. Had nothing to say about salvation, but it had a lot to say about religion. And it showed it off, and it put it on display. And that's where Israel was. They had their scribes, they had their Pharisees, they had their Sadducees. They all were religious people, but they were so very formalistic that they had lost all reality with the people. But thank God, the Lord sent a remedy. And that remedy was in this Savior called Christ the Lord. And the shepherds were watching that night and taking care of their sheep, doing their job. And the angel appeared to them and says, "Fear not, everything's going to be well." And they looked, and they followed the direction, and they came to where the Lord was laid. They came that first night, that night of birth. Jesus Christ was born a child. He was born an individual, a man, and but he was God in the flesh. No one's ever been born like him. Nobody ever lived like him. Nobody ever died like him. And before he was even born in Bethlehem, he was God. The scripture tells us in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall come forth unto me that is the ruler in Israel, whose going forth have been from old, from everlasting." He was before time ever started. The ticks of the clock, Jesus was there. He did not become the Son of God. He did not become the Lord. He did not become anything other in his date of birth other than flesh. He became an individual. He took upon him the flesh of man. The Bible says in John chapter 17, verse 5, says, "And now, O Father," here Jesus is praying, "glorify thou me in thy own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Even out of the mouth of the Lord himself, he states and he clarifies that before time was, he was. Before time came, he was in existence. He was the remedy for Israel's plight. He was the remedy for man's sin. He was the remedy for everything that had gone awry. And he was God in the flesh. He was absolutely God. He was absolutely man. This man called Christ the Lord. He was absolutely sinless. He's that sinless man, that sinless creature that came into this world in the image of a man and died for mankind. The Bible says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He had human flesh. He had flesh like you and I. He hurt like we do. When He died, He suffered the pangs and the anguish of death. But He's absolutely sinless, the Son of God. Not one thing wrong in His life, not one thing wrong in His mind, not one evil thought ever crossed His mind, not one evil deed, sinful thought. And therefore He could die for you and I that are sinners because He was sinless. The Bible says He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. And so we look at the Lord, and we look at the visitation here and the announcement that was given. It says that the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. Nothing to be afraid of, because I bring you good tidings. I bring you a good message. I bring you joy," he says, unto them. And he just says, "Fear not." I'm glad this morning we don't have to fear what comes our way. We can face it with the blessings and the honor of our Lord. As hard as things are, and as hard a week as our church has had and our families have had and individuals have had, thank God we can face it because He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is the one that upholds us and uplifts us. And this message that came to the shepherds that were fearful, how would you like to be out in a field? The only light you had was the stars of the sky, and all of a sudden the glory of the Lord appears and the voice of the angel comes. I believe we'd have a little bit of fear. I believe we'd have a little bit of getting ready to leave this place. And that's why the angel said, "Fear not. I've got good news for you. I've got good things." And so he says, the glory of the Lord shone round about them. He said, "I bring you good tidings, great joy, which shall be to all people, to everyone." I'm glad our message this morning is to everyone that will believe. Everyone that doesn't believe, it's still our message for them. Those that will reject, it's our message to them. Good tidings, great joy, because there's a Savior that is born, and His name is Christ the Lord. This morning, as we think about this identity of our Lord when He was born, and the statement of the angels to these shepherds, I think Mary already knew what was taking place. I think she knew what was happening. I believe the angels already had given her these things, and so she knew many, many things. But we find that these shepherds, they needed to be encouraged as to what was going on. And so in verse number 11, the angel said unto them, "Fear not." That's the second time. "Behold, I bring you good tidings, great joy." And verse 11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, Christ the Lord," which is Christ the Lord. I want to look at those three little words there, and won't take but just a few minutes. Savior, Christ, and Lord. That is the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the identity of our Deliverer. He is our Savior. The title there given to Him is that one of one that's on a mission. He's a Savior. He didn't come to save the wealthy. He didn't come just to take care of the righteous. He came to save sinners. Thank God. And Paul said, "Of whom I'm chief." And he came to identify with you and I in the flesh. He came born of a woman, and he came and grew to a man, and he died upon the cross of Calvary as our Savior. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Thank God my name can be put there. Your name can be put there. Every name of every individual that's living upon planet Earth right now, over 7 billion people, those names could be placed right there, for the Bible tells us that he came to seek and to save the lost. I'm sorry for those folks that believe he doesn't die for everybody. I'm sorry for those folks that don't have the understanding that the Scripture is open to everyone that will call upon him. I understand not everybody is going to get saved, but I think everybody can be saved. I believe there's a promise there that if we will we'll call upon him, then he will save us. And that doctrine is running rampant across our country today, that's destroying many, many good people. And so this morning, I'm glad he's a Savior. But more than that, thank God he's my Savior. And he's your Savior. And that's why we can face the things that we face. That's why I noticed Clarice and the family, they could go and look at Bud and have a smile on their face, because we know where he was. That's why yesterday we could go to the casket, and we could look at the figure of Deborah. And I heard more than one person say, "I'll see you again." You know why we can say that? It's because we have a Savior. It's because we have one that cares, and one that came to die for us. He came for those that no one else would ever care about. He came for those that nobody would have anything to do with. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 17, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." The Lord said, if you've got all you need, you don't need me. If you've got all the religion, I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you here. You don't need me. I didn't call you. I didn't come to call the righteous. He said, I didn't come to call the religious. He said, I came to call sinners to repentance. And repentance is still in the Word of God, and repentance is still a part of our salvation. And except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And so we find that this child's mission wasn't to take care of the wealthy, and wasn't to take care of the righteous, wasn't take care of the religious, it was take care of me, take care of you as a sinner. He came for those that nobody else wanted, those nobody else would have anything to do with. The woman at the well, the reason she was at the well in the middle of the day is because she didn't want to, she couldn't be coming to get water early morning because of all the crowd that was around her that would ridicule her and abuse her. So she came at a time when she didn't think anybody was there. But there was a Savior there that day. And he must needs go through Samaria, because he knew when she'd be there, and he knew what she needed. And he had the remedy. He had the cure. He said, "I'll give you living water. If you take my water, you'll never thirst again." And she goes back and tells everybody in the city, tells all the men of the city, "He's told me everything I ever did. Come see a man." He cared about people that were no longer a part of society, that they just were outcast. He took care of those that were disobedient to the Word of God. He took care of those that were disobedient to the things of the Lord. I'm glad he came for you and I. We were disobedient in our flesh. We are away from God by our nature. And he came for those that nobody wanted. He came for those that were destitute, those that were poor, those that had nothing, the world thought. And here Jesus is sitting by the treasury as people go out, And all the Pharisees, they make everybody know what they're putting in, and they drop it and let it go into the offering plate, whatever they would have. And here's a woman that goes by, and she puts in a what's called a widow's mite. And the Lord says, she's got more than the rest of you. She was destitute. She didn't have anything. A mite would be, in our thinking, we would say it's about like a penny. But it's much less than that in that day. And so she gave. And the Lord says she's given more than all these others because she gave all she had. He came to the destitute. He came to the poor. He came to those that had nothing to give. He didn't come to get. He came to give. He didn't come to receive from people. He came to give to people. I've heard preachers say, well, you can't build a church in that part of town. There's not enough money there. Well, that's looking on the wrong side. The Lord can do anything He desires to do with any people He desires to do. He loved those that were disobedient. He loved those that were destitute. He loved those that were depraved. And that's all of us. I'm glad He came for the sinful. He was a friend of sinners. And you and I today, this morning, we certainly should be known as an individual as a friend of sinners. Churches should be known as a place where sinners can come and find help and find things that they need. Thank God He came not to judge, but He came to be a Savior. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, and have everlasting life. Thank God He came to take care of the sinners. As a Savior, He provides things to the sinner that nobody else can. He provides a place of acceptance for us. We are accepted in the Beloved. He gives us a place that we can understand we have been delivered. I'm saved. Thank God nobody can take that away. I have deliverance in my heart and I have preservation. One day I'm going to see Him. It may be by way of death, as we have experienced, or it may be by way of rapture. Whichever way it is, one day we shall see God. And we'll be, as I used the verse yesterday, we shall see God in our flesh. Job said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and at the latter day I shall see Him in my flesh. Job said, even though the skin worms destroy this body, I'm going to see God. Thank the Lord this morning that one of these days we're going to see the Lord, because we have been preserved, we're honored, we're eternally saved by the grace of God, and one of these days we're going. I'm glad I can say I'm going home. Have you ever been out a long day and things haven't maybe gone the way you want them to, and something's always happened all through the day, and the night hour comes upon you and you say, I'm going home. I'm going home. And that just sort of is a refreshing statement that we're going to a place where we can relax. The cares of the day are done. Maybe I didn't get everything done I wanted to get done, but it'll be there tomorrow. Nobody else will do it for you, so it'll be there. And we get to the end of the day and we just say, I think I'm just going to go home. And in those words, we have a refreshing of our heart that there's a place where I can go and shut the door and I can just relax. You know, you and I, one of these days, we're going home. We're not going to have to shut the door. Now, the door's open for us. We'll enter in and we'll be home and we can relax. The cares of life will be over. No more doctor's appointments. Amy's been going to a doctor every day. Some days three doctors a day. You all have experienced that. I've experienced that. You go to the doctor and you got another appointment. Brother Tom had two doctor's appointments last Wednesday. I mean, you just go. And one of these days we're not going to go anymore, except we're going home. All because we have a Savior called Christ the Lord. Thank God He didn't come as our judge, He came as our Savior. That other title is Christ. That's a title of access. I can go to heaven because He is Messiah. This child that was born, he came to provide a simple salvation. But He provides more than that. For He provides us access to the very presence of the God of heaven. He permits me to open the door to the family of God and say I'm a part of the family. There's no big I, little you. We're just all in the family of God. It doesn't matter if we're red, yellow, black, or white. And by the way, that's not a racist term. That's reality. Nobody's different than anybody else. We all have the same flesh. I saw an illustration the other day. I just thought of it. It showed two eggs. One of the eggs is like you buy in the store. It's just as white as cotton. One of the eggs is like what Brother Dwayne brings us. It's pretty brown. If you crack that egg open, you know what? They all look just alike. Doesn't matter who we are, where we're from, what nationality we are, what color our skin is, on the inside, we're just alike. All made of God, all creation of the Lord, and Jesus died for every creature. He's Christ. He makes it possible for me to have access to the presence of an almighty God. I can go where God is, and in my prayer life, I can get a hold of the things of the Lord. He can speak to me. And by the way, Jesus only means we can do that. He's the way, truth, and life. He has the ability, and He answers our prayers, and He hears our prayers. And sometimes I believe He appeals to the Father. He said, but He's my child. She's my child. He's our advocate. He's our go-between. We have that blessing of the Lord, our Christ, our Savior, as that one that stands between us and God, and He pleads our case. The name Christ means anointed high priest. He is petitions the Father on our behalf. And Jesus said He prays for us. Isn't that a wonderful thing? That He really, literally knows my need and He prays for us. He told His disciples that, and He said, not only for you, but for all those that follow after. So He prayed for us. He pleads our case to the Father. He's, as I said, He's our advocate. And then lastly this morning, He's our Lord. That's a title of authority. He is Lord. He is referring to the one that has, that word Lord refers to the one that has absolute control. Now we may think we control our lives. No, we're under absolute authority of the Lord. Well, I'll do what I want to do only if He lets you do what you want to do. Only if He permits you to do that. So he's our Lord. That's controlled. That title reminds every Christian that Jesus Christ is the Lord of our life. Whether we put Him there or not, He's Lord. I've said this so many times, I don't have to make Him Lord. He is Lord. I don't have to establish Him as Lord in my life. He is Lord. I may not accept everything He tells me, and I may not let Him have His lordship over me, but it doesn't change His position. He is Lord. So when these shepherds were out in the field and they saw the glory of the Lord and they were fearful and they heard the voice of the angel here saying, fear not, I bring you good tidings. I'm bringing you some good news. For in the city of David, the city of Bethlehem, there is born a Savior, Christ the Lord. What a wonderful description that we have of our deliverer. As a Savior, He is worthy of our worship. As Christ, He is worthy of my dependence. I must depend upon Him. And as Lord, He is worthy of our obedience. I'll go where He tells me to go. I'll say what He tells me to say. Where He leads me, I will follow. All those expressions that we sometimes have in songs, those are songs that say He is my Lord. And so, these next 8, 9, 10 days, ever how much it is before Christmas, every time you see a nativity scene, and you see the shepherds there, just remember the message that God gave them, settled their heart. And they could leave their sheep and go to the city of Bethlehem and search out and find this baby called the Lord. Savior, Christ, the Lord. And no wonder they worshiped Him. No wonder the wise men, when they got there, ever when that was, no wonder they brought gifts to Him, because He's Savior, He's Christ, and He's Lord. Let's stand together this morning.